We are to be fully engaged citizens, residents of the kingdom of earth, and yet maintain a life holy in our ultimate citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. This is a tension, friends. It's a balance.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you joined us today for this series through the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Pastor Philip, we're commanded, it's not a suggestion, to be salt and light, but there's something always pulling away at us. You call it attention, but there's something always in our lives that's pulling us away from this high calling.
Yeah. God's calling us to this faithful presence, to be holy unto the Lord and yet fully engaged in a lost and broken world around us. That's what salt and light do. You know, they're moving toward the brokenness of this world. They're flavoring and changing the world around them. And so these agents of change, that's what we're called to be. But that requires this beautiful balance of being holy unto the Lord. We can't lose our saltiness, as Jesus will say. And we need to be engaged with the world. We can't hide our light. And so there's dangers on either side for us as we live in this faithful presence. And that's what Jesus is going to be talking with us about today as we go through the Sermon on the Mount.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we explore the implications of salt and light. This is part 3 of the sermon, Salt and Light. Now, beloved, grab your Bibles. We're in Matthew chapter 5. We'll look at verses 13 through 16.
In Jesus' day, salt was mined or scraped off the Dead Sea shores, and so it wasn't 100% pure. And when the salt had leached out of it, they just had dirt, and they just threw it out. Jesus says, look, salt only works if it's salty, if it's distinct. It has to be different from the world around it, or it's useless. It can't arrest decay. It can't season. If it loses its distinction from the surrounding world, it is utter uselessness. Friends, syncretism means losing our holiness, our identity as the people of God, and it's way too big a price to pay. We can't go there. The second error is an equal but opposite error, and that's separatism. Separatism. Separatism is when we separate, when we hide out from the big bad world around us, where we form a Christian bubble for protection. If syncretism is a chameleon, separatism is a turtle. Pull into the shell, form a hard barrier, and stay inside where it's safe. Hide out from our surroundings. Turtles, turtle posture people are so concerned about being tainted by those in the kingdom of earth that we disengage and we lose contact with the very people Jesus has sent us to be salt and light to. To use the language of Jesus, we hide our light. We put it under a basket and keep it for ourselves, which is, of course, dangerous because the basket usually lights on fire. Our light was always meant to shine. Friends, it was meant to come into contact with the darkness and drive it back and be a beacon of hope. It's meant to be seen. It's meant to be showered out into the universe so that others might see and give glory to God, our Father, who is in heaven. Light only works if it shines. It only works if it's pushing back the darkness. It only works if it's giving hope to the lost. Friends, separatism means losing our presence in the lost world that Jesus has sent us to be a light to redeem and draw to himself. And friends, that is too big a price to pay. to be salt and light. We've got to avoid both syncretism and separatism. Instead, Jesus calls us to embrace the calling of holy presence. The calling of holy presence. Friends, Jesus calls us to be a people holy unto the Lord, who are also fully present in this lost world. Do you see the tension? We are a people holy unto the Lord. We are to maintain our distinctiveness, our saltiness, the purity of our light, and we are to be fully present in this lost world. We are to maintain proximity, to be in full contact with a decaying world, to drive back the darkness, to give a light of hope to those who are lost. Don't you see, Jesus models for us this kind of life in the incarnation. Jesus, when he came and became fully human, fully proximate, all the way down to be with us in our brokenness and sin, he never lost his holiness before God, did he? He never lost his identity as the Son of God, and yet he was fully present and engaged with lost people. He ate with sinners and tax collectors, and yet he never became a sinner himself. Holiness and presence at once. The salt of the earth, the light of the world. And so you and me, we are called to be holy unto the Lord, to maintain our saltiness, and to be fully present in this lost world, and to let our light shine. Or to say it another way, the old way, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. We are to be fully engaged citizens, residents of the kingdom of earth, and yet maintain a life holy in our ultimate citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. This is a tension, friends. It's a balance, like an arch that is held up in the middle by two opposing forces that seem like opposites, and yet in the tension support and provide stability and structure. We are to be both holy and present. It is the tension of an incarnational life. This is what we're called to. Now, here's the challenge. Jesus is probably the only one who managed to integrate heavenly holiness and earthly presence with perfect balance and precision. Okay? Anybody else feel like they've got that down? The rest of us, we lean, don't we? We lean toward one side or the other. The tension in the arch is stronger maybe on one side or the other, and so we tip and we list one way or the other. Do you know which way you lean? Do you lean toward syncretism or separatism? You probably lean one of those two ways. I do. Now, maybe you don't know which way you lean. Here's a helpful test. Which of the two errors do you tend to think is more dangerous? Separatism, where you hide out from the world and have no contact, is that the thing you fear the most? Think that's the thing that the church gets wrong? Or do you most fear syncretism, being sucked in and becoming like the world around you? Whichever one you think is more dangerous, you're probably overreacting the opposite way. Does that make sense? Whichever one you think is the biggest threat, you're probably doing the opposite. So once you know which way you lean, the question is, what will you do about it? If you lean towards syncretism, the question is, where is God calling you to live in radical holiness before him? If you lean towards separatism, the question is, where is God calling you toward radical presence in this world? The takeaway is simple. Go and be the church. We say it every week. Now you know what we mean when we say, go and be the church. This is what it means. It means go and scatter and be like salt and light in the universe. Go be the holy people of God. Wherever you go, shine, be salty, go and be fully present in a lost and dying world, shining the light of Christ. Go, scatter, shine, go, live in the reality and resources of the kingdom of heaven that are yours in Jesus Christ. Drink deeply of the kingdom of heaven that is yours in Jesus. Be filled with the life of the kingdom of heaven, and then go pour yourself out. Go arrest the decay of the world that is falling apart wherever you live. Go adorn the darkness wherever you reside. Go drive back the corners of darkness wherever you live. Go shine hope to lost people everywhere. Go and be the church. Friends, if you want to change the world, start off by being salt and light. We are the people of God, called by His name, commissioned on mission with Jesus, filled with the Spirit, tethered to the resources of the kingdom of heaven, who are scattered out to change the world. Salt and light in the kingdom of heaven.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you joined us today as we dig deeper into living a holy and present life. You know, Pastor Philip, you gave this test. I think you called it a discernment test. I want to hear more about that. Give us a little more about this discernment test.
Yeah, so we're called to live as faithful, holy, present lives. Incarnation in the world, salt and light. That's the posture, in this centered, balanced way that's in the world but not of the world.
Okay.
And so there's two opposite errors we can fall into. One is the chameleon that tries to blend in with the world and becomes just like the world, loses holiness but stays present. And then you have the turtle that hides out from the world and tries to protect itself from contamination but ends up disengaging and becoming non-present in the world functionally. And so you can fall off the balance either way, right? You can lose your saltiness if you're like a chameleon blending in with the culture around you. And you can hide your light if you're like a turtle that's trying to shelter and disengage in its own little Christian bubble, right? And so this, we're called to be fully faithful to the Lord and fully present in the world, but there's these two opposite and equal errors on either side. And so how do you know which one? I do think we probably all default to lean toward one or other of those errors. We're either more chameleon or more turtle. And the test that I laid out was which are you most afraid of? So as you think about the world, are you most afraid of losing holiness and being corrupted by the world? If that's the bigger fear in your life, then you probably are living a little bit like a turtle. But if your bigger fear is I don't want to be insulated. I don't want to be one of those Christians that's hiding out and is not in the world, is not engaged in the world. I want to be there with my friends. I want to have influence. I want to be part of the culture. I want to be with it. you know, then you're probably, it's possible that maybe you're leaning a little bit toward the chameleon and you're not as salty as you think you are. You know, you're more, maybe you're compromising and blending in a little too much. So this is the tension. And I think when we say, well, which one's the one I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of blending in too much, so that I'm probably a turtle, or I lean toward a turtle, or am I afraid of disconnecting and not being a part of the world, then I might be leaning toward a little bit more of a chameleon. So, but it's a balancing act, isn't it? And we've got to learn to live in that healthy middle of all of this.
Yeah, but come on, Pastor Philip. Being in the middle, that's exhausting. Yeah. I'm being pulled this way and I feel the pressure this way. I could just kind of go with the flow, so to speak. So tomorrow we have people who want to be holy. They want to be present. They're going to go into their job. Let's talk a little bit about where they're going to experience that push, that pull, if you please.
Yeah. So I think you're going to feel both temptations, right? You're going to feel people around you that want you to just get with the program and act like them and stop trying to be different than the world around you. So you're going to feel that social pressure to constantly conform and to be like everyone else and go with the flow and don't cause a problem and don't be an outsider. Like, just blend in, fit in. People will like you. So there's a whole socializing thing. The social media does this to us. It tells us this is what you need to believe. This is what you need to say. These are the words you need to use. This is the right side of this issue. And it's socializing us to go with the flow constantly.
Yes.
And so that's the chameleon danger. And we're going to feel that. We're going to feel that temptation and that pressure. The flip side is that one of the ways we respond to that pressure is by just going quiet and hiding out and getting, you just sort of like, I'm going to be a secret Christian. I'm not going to actually stand up for Jesus. I'm not going to make his name known. I'm not even going to carry the label of Jesus much. I'm just going to do my job, hide my faith, put my little light under the bushel, as Jesus will say, and I'm not going to let my little light shine. Because when I shine, I get people looking at me weird, and then I feel the pressure to conform. And so one of the ways I can survive is by hiding out or just hanging out with Christian people because they're easier to hang out with. And so then I just get in my Christian bubble and I never leave it. And I just, everything's church and Christian friends, but I actually have no material conflict or contact with the surrounding culture.
I hear you.
I think we can feel both of these poles and tensions in our lives. And we've got to recognize that we all live in that. And we're going to have to find a way to live in the balance. How do I be in the world, but not of the world? How do I be salty and shine my light without losing my saltiness and the purity of my light? But how do I make sure I'm not hiding it out and just keeping it all separate as well? Like, both of those are tensions and temptations we're going to feel.
I tell you what would be helpful. Think about it for a second. Give us some examples from scripture of people who balance this out. We could say, I could model myself after who?
I think the best example that I can think of is Daniel from the Old Testament. You know, Daniel is, he and his friends are brought out of Israel. They've been brought into Babylon, the conquering nation, and they're trying to force them through a re-education, re-enculturation program to break down their identity as God's people and reform them as Babylonians, right? Yeah. So this whole program, and they have to decide, okay, when do we go along with the deal and when do we resist, right? And so they pick their line. We're not going to eat this food that's sacrificed to the idols, and we're going to stand up and do what's right. And so they pick their line, and we're not going to bow down to the idols. We're not going to bow down to the statue, even if it costs us our lives. We'll go to the fiery furnace, but we're going to be holy unto the Lord. We're in Babylon. We got to figure out how to live here, and we got to pick our battles wisely. But this is the line. Or Daniel, where he's just faithfully praying every day. Everyone knows he's a praying man. They know he's not worshiping the gods of Babylon, that he's a weirdo. Mm-hmm. You know, he's worshiping the God of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so when they do their little political coup, they decide to use his prayer life as the sticking point of whether he can work in government. And he finds a way again. You know, he's risen to the highest levels of government influence within a very secular pagan Babylonian nation. He's serving in the administration, but he's also faithful to the Lord, and he knows when to pick his battles and when he'll go to the lion's den. And of course, God stands with him. And I think I find such inspiration from someone like that.
Yeah.
Because Dan, he's wrestling with it, you see. He's how do I be fully present? How do I live for the prosperity of Babylon? How do I pray for them and bless them and be a good citizen of this foreign kingdom and yet keep my identity and calling pure and holy unto the Lord? How do I live righteously in the midst of a pagan land? And really, that's where we're at, isn't it?
Yes.
We're God's people. We live in a world that has forgotten his name, that has run the other way, is living in rebellion. So we're in Babylon at some level. And we've got to figure out how do we live in the machinations of this world, in all the responsibilities that we have, and yet be fully present, and yet at the same time keep our devotion, our lives pure, holy unto the Lord, so that we can shine the light of Christ in the midst of a broken world. And that's the tension. And I think Daniel shows us that.
You know, you're the senior pastor at the Moody Church, and every Sunday you challenge the congregation when we end the service to go and be the church. And that's really our marching orders today, I think. So how can we discern where we need to be salt and light? You're sending us out, so where should we do that?
Well, that's what we do. The church is not just when we gather and we get the scriptures and we worship and pray together.
That's right.
That is church, but that's also right. Church is who we are as we scatter.
Yes.
So we scatter to go and represent Christ where we live, work, learn, and play Monday through Friday, Saturday, and then we come back and we get refueled, and then we get sent back out on mission to represent Christ in the world. And so that's kind of our rhythm. And so we do go to be the church. And as the church, we are salt and light. We're preserving the world around us where it's broken. We are seasoning and adorning this world, the goodness that God has placed in the world. We're drawing it out. We're deterring the darkness where we see it. We're shining a beacon of hope in a lost and dying world. So those are our marching orders. And so the question is, how can I do that?
Yeah.
How can I bring healing and blessing and renewal? And how can I shine the light of Christ? And where do I draw the lines? And how do I do it well? And those are the right questions. And I think we can be as creative as we are individuals, as the Spirit leads. We're going to go out and do that in different ways. But that's who we are. We're the church.
Oh, be encouraged. God has commanded it. That means he'll enable us to be able to do it, that you can be salt and light. You know, being salt in a broken world means we're called to be preserving agents. Christians are called to live holy lives in the midst of an unholy world. It's a creative calling that looks different for every one of us as we allow the Spirit's leading. But to stay distinct and to keep our light shining brightly, we have to continually grow in reflecting God's character. Imagine the difference it would make to identify with Christ openly and graciously wherever we go. Now that's why we're offering Jerry Bridges' book, The Pursuit of Holiness. Bridges helps us understand that holiness isn't about following a list of trivial do's and don'ts. Instead, it's a joyful joint venture with God. This book is a convicting yet compassionate guide to developing the spiritual habits that keep our faith strong and our light from growing dim in a chaotic culture. Becoming an endurance partner is a wonderful way to join this mission of sharing gospel truth. These monthly givers are the heartbeat of our ministry, ensuring that we continue sharing the good news of Jesus Christ each day. When you request your copy of The Pursuit of Holiness, you'll have the option to join this family of supporters. Now, this is one of the last days to request your copy of The Pursuit of Holiness for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com. You can call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When we take holiness seriously, we reflect God's true character. Now, next time, we'll take a look at God's standard for righteousness. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime.
Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.